Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and I'm talking with our chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Steve, welcome to the program, and we have a primary that has passed and some great candidates to talk about today.
We do. We had a great primary on Tuesday of this last week. All of the counties were counted and in, except Santa Fe County. That took 4 full days. It took Tuesday, and we're supposed to have the results Tuesday night. They're supposed to work till they finish. They actually shut down. She didn't have enough workers, claiming that she just didn't know and was surprised by the number of absentee ballots. That's with the understanding that she sent the absentee ballots out, so she should have absolutely known that you're going to get a lot of them back in. If you send a lot out, they're probably going to send them back.
Well, and they were running ads on radio and television saying to vote absentee. How could she not know?
Yeah, how could she not know? That was our point in the press. So she came back in on Wednesday, counted all day, shut down that night. On Thursday, she counted again all day. Finally, on Friday, she brought in extra workers. She should have had those on Tuesday night. So Geraldine Salazar basically is completely incompetent for the job that she's in. But then she began to obstruct. We had our poll watchers and challengers there. They're officially designated. They're formal. They're declared in law. They're declared in the election handbook. And so we had them on site. We're communicating with them. And then we began to ask a very simple, basic question. What are you doing with the ballots that came in after 7 p.m.? On Tuesday night, because they're not allowed to be counted. And she wouldn't answer the question and said we had to ask for a meeting. When we asked for the meeting, then she gave us this formal response that is canned response. Due to the COVID-19, our offices are shut down and locked. When we reopen, we'll advise you that we reopen and you can schedule a meeting in order to ask your question. I'm sorry, she was in the dadgum warehouse with us. We were walking up and down. Our representatives there, the Democrat representatives were there. Her election team was there. The counters were there. She's there. Her deputy was there. All she had to do was come over and say, here is what we're doing with those ballots. Now, for a time, she had ballot boxes open in her office. She's supposed to time date stamp every ballot that comes in so that they don't count by mistake those that might arrive after 7 p.m. Tuesday night. She would not let us see those ballots. Finally, we brought enough pressure that she brought down 4,800 more ballots from her office, and at least we were able to kind of contain the number of ballots that they were creating. We're not sure if they created those or not, but at least we were able to stop it. But she would never declare to us what she was doing with those other ballots, again, claiming the COVID-19 is the reason she couldn't come over and just talk to us. She was saying things to us. It's just that she was obstructing that. We also are allowed, as our challengers are allowed, to have access to the preliminary reports. She would not post any of the interim reports. Every other county you have on the Secretary of State webpage, if you look up very high on the toolbar, you have the number of precincts that are complete and finished and the number of precincts that are in process. And then both of those have the same number of precincts. That's the number in that particular county. And so she had zero precincts complete all the way through to the finish. And it's supposed to be different than that. You're supposed to kind of get a running count as one precinct is finished up and completely verified. It's notarized, it's made legal, and that way the candidates have a real knowledge of about what's going on. So Geraldine Salazar, the county clerk in Santa Fe, again, obstructing and incompetent. But we did have great winners come out in that northern district, District 3, that was held up so long till Saturday to notify. Alexis Martinez Johnson was nominated by the Republicans to run in that northern district. So that is great. Then in our next segment, we're going to talk to Michelle Garcia Holmes. She was our nominee in the Albuquerque CD1 district, and then Yvette Harrell beat out Claire Chase and Chris Mathis. And so you've got Yvette Harrell, you've got Michelle Garcia Holmes, and you've got Alexis Martinez Johnson as the three congressional representatives, and Mark Ronchetti was the Senate nominee, and so that's our slate. Of course, we have 101 candidates running for legislative seats, both state Senate and state House of Representatives. Now, the surprising thing on Election Day is that the progressives took out all of the conservative Democrats. You had the president pro tem of the Senate, Mary Kay Papin, was defeated by a progressive in Las Cruces. You had John Arthur Smith, the guy that has held New Mexico's budget steady during Bill Richardson's crazy spending spree and during Michelle Lujan Grisham's crazy spending spree here in the last two sessions. elections, he's held that constant and kept the progressives out of the permanent fund. He got beat. Gabe Ramos, the first-term senator from Silver City, strong pro-life Democrat, he got beat. Clemente Sanchez up in Grants and Gallup area, he got beat. And so you had the Democrat progressives take out all of the conservative Democrats. That's what I think is going to make the state red. Conservative Democrat voters are not going to vote for the far left. They're looking for Republicans who are common sense, who are pro-job, lower taxes, pro-life, pro-gun. That's what they're looking for. So New Mexico just took a big step toward turning red in the coming election. Of course, President Trump continues to lead that effort. He's starting to rebuild the economy. In dramatic economic news, the Council of Economic Advisors described that in May they were expecting 7.5 million total lost jobs, but instead 2.5 million jobs were added. That's the largest single job creation month since we've been tracking since the 1930s. And so President Trump is, again, predicting correctly that the recovery is going to be really strong, that people are going to go back to work, that New Mexico and the United States are going to return to normal. Again, that dramatic, dramatic jobs report that came out last week was just stunning. And so that's what's going to lead President Trump to win in New Mexico and nationwide. But again, Election Day was a very exciting day for New Mexico Republicans and for New Mexico in general. In our next segment, we're going to talk to Michelle Garcia Holmes. She's our CD1 representative, but she was a police officer in Southeast Albuquerque and talked about the values, the faith values, and just the crime that is tearing that area up. And so we have candidates that are running very strong in that South Valley. People are ready for a change. They're tired of the same old thing coming from the same old party. And so we're going to be competitive. I wanted to announce also that we've seen the demonstrations for George Floyd, and those demonstrations, if they're for George Floyd, are appropriate. What happened to him was completely illegal. Finally, the cop was arrested and charged with murder. That murder charge has been upgraded. And so there is a right to protest what happened to George Floyd. But you see Antifa, and you see looters and rioters who are piggybacking on the emotional outrage against the police. And so they're going in and doing destruction. They're trying to destroy the fabric of the country. They're trying to destroy the physical makeup of the country, burning buildings. And so we've seen those protests happen in this state. So on July the 4th, we're going to have a peaceful protest. We want people to show up at Ute Lake, or we're going to ask local people to organize demonstrations in all 33 counties. But Ute Lake is going to be the big one. We're going to try to have country and western singers there. We're going to try to have nationally recognized speakers there. And also, we already have the $30,000 firework display that is set up to take place there over the lake. Going to be a great day, so bring your umbrellas to shade from the sun, bring your lawn chairs, and let's all join at Ute Lake on July the 4th for our peaceful protest.
Thank you, Steve, and as you mentioned, we will return in just a moment with Michelle Garcia Holmes on Inside New Mexico.
On behalf of the New Mexico Department of Health, take COVID-19 precautions. Wash your hands frequently for 20 seconds. Don't touch your face. Use a tissue or your elbow to catch your sneeze or cough. Avoid large gatherings and close contact with sick people, especially if you are elderly or high risk. If you have a cough, fever, or shortness of breath, stay home from work or school. Do not go to the ER or doctor's office without first calling the coronavirus hotline. And avoid all unnecessary out-of-state travel. Help prevent the spread of COVID-19.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico with Steve Pierce and, in this segment, our guest.
Well, Derek, as we mentioned in the first segment of the program, we are joined today in this segment by Michelle Garcia Holmes. She's the new nominee for the Republican Party for the 1st Congressional District. She's going up against Deb Haaland, one of the more outspoken radical members of the New Mexico delegation. She has really positioned herself badly for the conservative Democrats in New Mexico. So, Michelle Garcia Holmes, welcome to the program. Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thanks for having me on today, Steve. I really appreciate it. I am a former law enforcement officer. I worked with the Attorney General's office for 8 years, where I worked worked on legislation. I was the chief of staff at the Attorney General's office under Gary King. Worked all 8 legislative sessions, helped pass the first human trafficking bill, helped start the very first statewide government corruption division. Worked on a lot of issues. We worked on internet crimes against children, worked with Native American community, the Navajo Nation, worked on anti-methamphetamine outreach and education. I was also the liaison to the congressional delegation, so I worked a little bit with our congressional delegation and brought back much needed funding for law enforcement, for a lot of different programs that we utilized and collaborated with across our state. And prior to that, I was a policewoman. I was a detective in the Crimes Against Children unit, where I worked child abuse cases, violent crimes, sex crimes. For 20 years, I worked in law enforcement. 10 of those years, I spent working in the Southeast area, which is often referred to as the war zone, but has now become the international district. Really tough area to work, but it's a really tough area to grow up in, too. And I think working in that area paved the way for a lot of things that I did in my career. So I'm really excited to be the nominee. Running against Deb Haaland is going to be a challenge. I know we're quite outnumbered as Republicans, but I'm that common sense approach type person, and I just want to get things done for New Mexico. So I think this is going to be a good race, and I think Deb is quite weak. I don't think she's represented the district well. And like you said, she has very radical beliefs. And I really have to highlight that my opponent is pro-death, basically, pro-choice up to the baby's date of birth. She supports that. She's endorsed by Planned Parenthood. She's endorsed by Emily's List. She's endorsed by all the groups that are really immersed into abortion here in District 1. And I am just the polar opposite. I work with our pro-life ministries and our pro-life groups. And just this Friday, I'll share a story with you. We were out at the UNM abortion clinic, and they actually have a Heroes Work Here banner. So I've been reaching out to UNM and wrote the president of UNM a letter asking to have that banner removed, because it's an abortion clinic. They're taking lives in this time of COVID-19, where all of our doctors and our healthcare workers are trying to save lives. So I just really thought that that was inappropriate.
We're talking with Michelle Garcia Holmes, the Republican nominee for CD1. That's basically Bernalillo County. And so she's our nominee for the general election, came through in flying colors on election day, this primary day last week. So, Michelle, now you did mention that you worked in the Democrat Gary King's Attorney General office. How is it that he came to hire a Republican to work for him as chief of staff? Talk a little bit about that, if you would.
Sure. Well, I haven't always been a Republican, Steve, and I actually left the Democratic Party, but I really have to utilize the appropriate words. The Democratic Party left me. I was very active. I was pro-life, active in my church, and I started to see a real change in the Democratic Party over the years. I really have been a conservative all my life, a conservative Democrat starting out, and then changed over to independent. One of the things that I am not is a socialist, and the Democratic Party really started leaning more socialist. And when I saw that happening, when I saw this far-left liberal movement coming into the party, I ran as fast as I could, because that's just not what I'm about. Being pro-life, Christian, not a socialist. You know, and I believe that I represent a lot of people in New Mexico. I think we're so pro-hard work and pro-family that these are really turning point times for New Mexico, because I think a lot of Democrats right now are like I was, where they are starting to see that, you know what, I'm not a socialist. I don't believe in these liberal aspects of the party. I'm pro-Second Amendment. A lot of Democrats are pro-Second Amendment. They hunt in New Mexico. They respect life. So I guess the best way I can say it is the Democratic Party has been hijacked by a liberal, progressive, socialist socialist movement. And I don't even like to use the word progressive, because progressive means you're doing things and moving forward. I don't see that they're doing things and moving forward. I see that they're holding New Mexico back. My mom really got us involved in politics at a very young age. At 18, she registered us Democrat and said, you know what, we're voting for King and Kennedy. That's the kind of Democrats we are. And I actually wanted to register Republican. At the time, my grandma was sitting at the table with us and said, sweetie, you can put an R in there. And my mom overheard it and said, no, not if you want to live under my roof. So it's kind of funny, you know, how life is. But I think that's happened to a lot of people like me. When they first registered, they registered what their parents were. And that's just kind of a New Mexico thing. But I think it's changing. I noticed over this past election cycle that we re-registered so many people. They wanted to register Republican. And throughout our campaign, we traveled with the voter registrar to all the different events when we could before COVID-19. And we re-registered so many people. It's amazing to see people re-registering to Republican. And I really truly believe that they were re-registering because of our president, President Trump. He had really turned the economy around. We saw Hispanic incomes just rise over the 50,000 mark. We saw unemployment levels just drop. It was amazing. The jobs that have been created across America because of our president, the jobs that had been created here in New Mexico. And then we got hit pretty hard by COVID-19, but I do believe that we're going to bounce back. We're already seeing those unemployment levels just start to drop again. And I'm excited. I'm excited to be running in this time.
Again, folks, we're visiting today with Michelle Garcia Holmes, the Republican nominee for CD1. That's Bernalillo County. And I think, Michelle, that your story is New Mexico's story. It's definitely my story. Any closing comments for our listeners today?
I just want to encourage people to join in on our campaign. I truly believe we're going to win this because we've had so many Democrats come alongside. There's already individuals who want to start a Democrats for Michelle Garcia Holmes. So if you want to join our campaign, you can go to our website to sign up. It's www.garciaholmes4congress.com. So help us out. Let's win this. Let's make 2020 a big victory. Thanks for having me on today, Steve. Really appreciate it.
There you have it. Garcia Holmes for Congress. Let's sign up. Let's help out. Let's make this red wave happen, because we're not trying to just turn the state red for the sake of making it Republican. We're working for the future. We're fighting for our kids' opportunities. We're fighting for New Mexico's chance. Again, thanks for being with us today. God bless you. Keep us posted on how you're doing.
Thank you. God bless you, too. You take care.
Steve Pierce and I will return in just a moment with more of Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. I'm talking with our chairman of the Republican Party, Steve Pierce. Steve, I understand you have something a little different planned for us for this segment.
Derek, in this segment, I think we're going to make an exception. Usually I don't like to read things on the radio, but today Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano came out with a letter to President Trump in which he describes that what's going on right now are the forces of evil playing themselves out. And he even refers back to the biblical description of light, darkness, of good and bad. And I think that it is very appropriate. And so without further introduction, I'm just going to start reading from his letter. He's a well-noted Archbishop of the Catholic Church in this powerful letter today to President Trump, warning him that the current crisis over the coronavirus pandemic and the George Floyd riots are part of the eternal spiritual struggle between the forces of good and evil. He encourages the president to continue the fight on behalf of the children of light. That letter is posted in full on LifeSite. That's a webpage that you can just Google and find it. So June 7th, 2020, Holy Trinity Sunday, Mr. President, in recent months, we've been witnessing the formation of two opposing sides that I would call biblical, the children of light and the children of darkness. The children of light constitute the most conspicuous part of humanity, while the children of darkness represent an absolute minority. And yet the former are the object of sort of discrimination, which places them in a situation of moral inferiority with respect to their adversaries, who often hold strategic positions in government, in politics, in the economy, and in the media, in an apparently inexplicable way, the good are held hostage by the wicked and by those who help them either out of self-interest or fearfulness. These two sides, which have a biblical nature, follow the clear separation between the offspring of the woman and the offspring of the serpent, obvious reference to the biblical story in Genesis. On the one hand, there are those who, although they have 1,000 defects and weaknesses, are motivated by the desire to do good, to be honest, to raise a family, to engage in work, to give prosperity to their homeland, to help the needy, and in obedience to the law of God, to merit the kingdom of heaven. On the other hand, there are those who serve themselves, who do not hold any moral principles, who want to demolish the family and the nation, exploit workers to make themselves unduly wealthy, foment internal divisions and wars, and accumulate power and money. For them, the fallacious illusion of temporal well-being will one day, if they do not repent, yield to the terrible fate that awaits them, far from God, in eternal damnation. In society, Mr. President, these two opposing realities coexist as eternal enemies, just as God and Satan are eternal enemies. And it appears that the children of darkness, whom we may easily identify with the deep state, which you wisely oppose and which is fiercely waging war against you in these days, have decided to show their cards, so to speak, by now revealing their plans. They seem to be so certain of already having everything under control that they have laid aside the circumspection that until now had at least partially concealed their true intentions. The investigations already underway will reveal the true responsibility of those who manage the COVID emergency, not only in the area of healthcare, but also in politics, the economy, and the media. We will probably find that in this colossal operation of social engineering, there are people who have decided the fate of humanity, arrogating to themselves the right to act against the will of citizens and the representatives in the government of nations. We will discover that the riots in these days were provoked by those who, seeing that the virus is inevitably fading and that the social alarm of the pandemic is waning, necessarily have had to provoke civil disturbances because they would be followed by repression, which, although legitimate, could be condemned as an unjustified aggression against the population. The same thing is also happening in Europe. In perfect synchrony, it is quite clear that the use of street protest is instrumental to the purposes of those who would like to see someone elected in the upcoming presidential election who embodies the goals of the deep state and who expresses those goals faithfully and with conviction. It will not be surprising if, in a few months, we learn once again that hidden behind these acts of vandalism and violence, there are those who hope to profit from the dissolution of the social order so as to build a world without freedom. Salve et coagula, as the Masonic adage teaches. Although it may seem disconcerting, the opposing alignments I have described are also found in religious circles. There are faithful shepherds who care for the flock of Christ, but there are those mercenary infidels who seek to scatter the flock and hand the sheep over to be devoured by ravenous wolves. It is not surprising that these mercenaries are allies of the children of darkness and hate the children of light. Just as there is a deep state, there is also a deep church that betrays its duties and forswears its proper commitments before God. Thus, the invisible enemy, whom good rulers fight against in public affairs, is also fought against by good shepherds in the ecclesiastical sphere. It is a spiritual battle, which I spoke about in my recent appeal, which was published on May 8th. For the first time, the United States has in you a president who courageously defends the right to life, who is not ashamed to denounce the persecution of Christians throughout the world, who speaks of Jesus Christ and the right of citizens to freely worship. Your participation in the March for Life, and more recently your proclamation of the month of April as a National Child Abuse Prevention Month, are actions that confirm which side you will fight on, and I dare to believe that both of us are on the same side in this battle, albeit with different weapons. For this reason, I believe that the attack to which you were subjected after your visit to the National Shrine of St. John Paul II is part of the orchestrated media narrative which seeks not to fight racism and bring social order, but to aggravate dispositions, not to bring justice, but to legitimize violence and crime, not to serve the truth, but to favor one political faction. And it is disconcerting that there are bishops, such as those whom I recently denounced, who by their words prove that they are aligned on the opposing side. They are subservient to the deep state, to globalism, to aligned thought, to the New World Order, which they invoke ever more frequently in the name of universal brotherhood, which has nothing Christian about it, but which evokes the Masonic ideals of those who want to dominate the world by driving God out of the courts, out of the schools, out of the families, and perhaps even out of the churches. The American people are mature and have now understood how much the mainstream media does not want to spread the truth, but seeks to silence and distort it, spreading the lie that is useful for the purposes of their masters. However, it is important that the good, who are always the majority, wake up from their sluggishness and do not accept being deceived by a minority of dishonest people with unavowed purposes. It is necessary that the good, the children of the light, come together and make their voices heard. What more effective way is there to do this, Mr. President, than by prayer, asking the Lord to protect you, the United States, and all of humanity from this enormous attack of the enemy? Before the power of prayer, the deception of the children of darkness will collapse. Their plots will be revealed. Their betrayal will be shown. Their frightening power will end in nothing, brought to light and exposed for what it is, an infernal deception. Mr. President, my prayer is constantly turned to the beloved American nation, where I had the privilege of and honor of being sent by Pope Benedict XVI as the Apostolic Nuncio. In this dramatic and decisive hour for all of humanity, I am praying for you and also for those who are at your side in the government of the United States. I trust that the American people are united with me and you in the prayer to Almighty God, united against the invisible enemy of all humanity. I bless you and the First Lady, the beloved American nation, and all men of goodwill. Signed by Carlo Maria Vigano. He's the titular Archbishop of Ljubljana.
Thank you, Steve. For our listeners, please stay informed and engaged with what's happening in the Republican Party. You can go to the website at gopnm.org. You can get the latest news there, upcoming events, information about our elected officials, voter resources, and all kinds of important and useful information about the Republican Party and its mission. And check out the party's Facebook page. They also have a Twitter account. The handle is at New Mexico GOP. You can call the party headquarters at 298-5662. That's in the 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. We look forward to meeting with you again next week, right here on Inside New Mexico.